see the responsibility, the duty of the government to educate people on the alternative crops given the weather changing patterns.
Now, Professor Mandy, it seems as if El Nino is focused to continue strengthening into early 2016, causing more floods and droughts. Now, the question is, what is going to happen to Zimbabwe? We know that Zimbabwe has been having serious problems in terms of food shortages. So what next for Zimbabwe?
I think there's got to be, first off, a much better integration of all knowledge about farming within the country. And of course, as you all know, Mugabe and his government back in 2000 chased off all the white farmers who had lots of knowledge, but in particular, they knew about irrigation. And in the communal areas, there's little, if any, irrigation. And this means that you must depend on rain-fed agriculture. And when the rain is going to be less or unpredictable, then you're in a problem, isn't it? And so if what's the chance of the government saying that we need some expertise from the previous white farmers, especially in terms of irrigation, you can then grow maize, or what's the possibility of them having good crop yields from sorghum and millet? The problem with sorghum and millet, which I expect Mr. Ndlovu would agree with, is that it gets devastated by quelea birds, what we would call on this side nyoni. And I suspect that's the main reason why rural people don't want to grow millet and sorghum, because of the bird threat.
Mr. Ndlovu, how serious are these quelea birds in terms of devastating crops?
These are some of the challenges that the rural people face of these quelea birds. But currently, the planting season has not yet started, so we can't say it has become a serious issue. But usually during the cropping season, they experience such challenges.
And how do they control them?
There is the indigenous knowledge system that they use. The rural people have got their own indigenous knowledge system that they apply to control the challenges of quelea birds.
Professor Mandy, is there any scientific way of controlling quelea birds?
Yes, we've been controlling or trying to control quelea birds in Zimbabwe for 50 years. And it's one of those animals that the more you try and control it, the more numerous it seems to be. And so the way that the Department of National Parks, or what's now called Parks and Wildlife Management Authority, the way, their favorite way, is by poisonous spray. And whereas what Mr. Ndlovu was talking about in terms of indigenous knowledge, or IKS, that would be disturbance probably by boys during the day. And secondly, for people to go and try and remove baby quelias from their nests. The problem with the poisonous spray, of course, is that it's expensive. It's usually put on by aeroplane or backpack mistblower technique, and so it requires quite a bit of skill, and we've not, to my knowledge, been able to build capacity in communal areas to do this control effectively themselves.
And Mr. Ndlovu, how do communities use indigenous knowledge to control these birds?
Using their own locally devised mechanism of controlling them without any scientific knowledge application.
Professor Mandy, do you use some of these methods that you take from communities to actually control these quelea birds?
No, not at all, because none of those methods actually control the bird. That is, you know, put in little cages to trap birds next to the fields, using buoys to run to and fro through the fields to disturb the birds, or to get villagers to come and remove the baby birds from the nests. None of these methods, in our view, actually control the quelias. What you must do is kill adult birds en masse, and that's why we've developed over, I'm telling you, the last 50 years, we've developed a very sophisticated method of spraying the birds with this chemical called fenthion, which is marketed by Bayer under the name of Quelliotox.
There are some other issues that normally affect farmers. You know, the armyworm and grasshoppers and all those kind of things. It seems as if this is an annual problem. This time around, what can you advise farmers to do as the season is setting in?
My advice would be to say that they approach the agricultural extension workers who could probably assist them with chemicals to control the armyworms, grasshoppers, etc.
Professor Mandi, do you have any solution to some of these issues?
The thing with the armyworm is that it comes down on the rain fronts with the ITCZ. If it's going to be El Nino, those rain fronts are going to be weaker, and I would therefore not expect armyworm to be a pest this year. Similarly, with the grasshoppers, actually properly called locusts, they're unlikely to be a problem this year, again, because of the lower rainfall.